Conservative Theological University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the barbarianism of Islamic jihadists and what the Islamic jihadists are doing on a global basis, and we're calling it global deception. Why do we call it global deception? Because around the globe, political leaders, including right here in America, are being deceived by the modus operandi and operational procedure and the process of what is taking place with Islam and their desire to control, dominate the entire world. I'll say a couple of other words and then we'll go to our telephone lines. I believe all of them are loaded waiting, so hold on a moment. We'll get with you. This article from the ACLJ says, the scale of the massacre in Syria is almost unthinkable. 1,517 murdered with 300 field executions. No trial, killing on the spot with Christians on the target. Now, yet another horror. Our source on the ground is reporting that 500 girls and women have been abducted, violently taken from their families, and sold into sex slavery. Once again, ISIS is spreading fear and evil. Militants tied to ISIS and loyal to Syrian regime are launching a deadly campaign to seize the region and eradicate all Christians, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's happening in Syria. The ACLJ dealing with that. It's not being reported in American news media. American news media is not reporting what's happening on the entire continent of Africa, where some 60 to 1, listen, between 60 and 100,000 Christians have been slaughtered in just the past few months, and nothing has been reported about it. And it happens to be coming from the Islamic jihadist. Ladies and gentlemen, they're not friendly. It is not compatible, and it's not compatible with anything. But yet, it's the trickle down of what we're going to look at today. Is the fact we find in state after state, Michigan, Texas, New York, Florida, etc., etc., where Islam is coming in like a whirlwind, and the desired goal is to dominate. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. They are not going to put those weapons down. Look, they're killing their own people, thinking that, hey, you helped the Jews to find out where our people are and stuff like this, and killing them in the street. But like you said, you don't see that on the network news. No.
No, we'll not find that on the Communist Network News. It will not be reported because that identifies and that brings to the fruition and the forefront of what the real goal is of Islam. We're going to talk about that further in the broadcast, but Kenneth, let me touch on this for your benefit and for those that are listening even now. Genesis chapter 16 is a very good Torah source for us to go to, verses 10, 11, and 12. And, of course, the backdrop is God had promised Sarah and Abraham that he would give them a son. They were up in age beyond the realm of reproduction as we would understand it biologically today. So Sarah decided that, Abraham, apparently God's forgotten us. I'm paraphrasing now. Apparently God's forgotten us. I tell you what, go in and have sex with my maid, Hagar, and produce a son. He did. Hagar produced a son. The son's name Ishmael. And Ishmael, according to Genesis chapter 16, the scripture says, shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy cry, thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. We're talking about the Islamics today. And that's the exact mindset there. It is a war between two brothers, two half-brothers. It is the end result of sin. And there are those that say, well, my sin doesn't affect anybody else. It is proof positive. If we didn't have any other text in all the Bible, it is proof positive that that sin now has affected millions of people, generations and years down the road since that took place, because of disobeying God. God said, I'm going to give you a son. They were not willing to wait on God, took it in their own hands and made a decision. We as a globe, we as a people, we're suffering the results of that disobedience to God. So, Kenneth, it demands our prayer, our recognition that, listen, it's not designed to frighten anybody, but to inform. For the anemic Christian that's listening, listen up. For the Christian that's simply ignorant of the Word of God, listen up. For the Christian that thinks that Islam and Christianity are sister religions, listen up. It is not so. And if you believe that, you've been sold a demonic lie. And that's the point that I want to make, Kenneth, with our listeners today. So it demands our attention that we sit up and continue to take notice. Kenneth, we got the rush. We got others holding on the lines. But thank you so much for your call. And God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Derby is on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, my comment is about Islam spreading throughout Europe and the world, the U.S., everywhere. So what to do? Well, we need to look at history and look at Spain and the Reconquista. That's when the king and queen of Spain threw out the Muslims and the Jews. And they said, convert or leave. And just imagine if the Spain had not thrown out the Muslims from Spain, Spain would be still Muslim, and the new world, the American continent, would have been colonized by Muslims. Mm-hmm. And then Latin America would be Muslim, not Catholic. So,
well, you're saying that brings me to a point that perhaps you have discovered already. Looking at the headline, Pope Leo gives Muslims a prayer room in the heart of Catholicism in the Vatican. Pope Leo, head of the Catholicism worldwide, has handed over to the Muslims a prayer room in the Vatican, the heart of the church. Some Muslim scholars have asked us for the room with a carpet to pray on, and we've given it to them, the Pope said. Despite the wide-ranging tolerance and cooperative agendas in the contemporary world, Islam and Christianity are fundamentally exclusive. Islam denies the virgin birth of Jesus and his divinity, on which salvation message of Christian churches globally for millennia have been founded. The teachings also directly in opposition with Christian messages of love and compassion throughout the Bible, conflicting with the Quran's instructions to behead, to kill, to slay all non-Muslims. In the report, Pope Leo supports the invasion of millions of Islamics into the Western countries, although their values and their culture are so gravely different to the West. Now he is arranging for a prayer room in the Vatican for them. However, we're still waiting for the Vatican City to and its migratory Islamics to live and a place for them to live. The Pope certainly has gone political in his so-called so far brief tenure, repeatedly criticizing America's agenda to secure the borders and control the number of migrants entering into our borders in America. So, Derby, what we're seeing is, on a global basis, there's a push to embrace Islam. Now, listen very carefully, Derby, and I want our listeners to understand it. I'm not condemning President Trump for working a peace agreement. But what he has done so masterfully has been to bring together all, not some, ALL, of the Islamic nations, with the exception of Iran, into that agreement where the Islamic mindset now will be that somehow, some way, America should be holding to them. And right now, there's been an approval someplace, I believe it's in the state of Idaho, for the Islamic jihadists known as Qatar to put in a jet airplane factory right in the heart of America. I'm against it. I am fearful that we've lost sight of what Islam is. Islam means to submit, and it is a push to cause America and the Western world to submit to Islam. Texas is on the verge of that. But Derby, let me read this, get your take. California imam warns of alleged global Islamization. An imam speaking from California has sparked alarm with his statements regarding the global expansion of Islam. In a public speech, he claimed that Europe, the United States, and Russia will become Islamic, and that Islam will enter every home around the globe. His words have ignited a debate over national security and the impact of radical ideological movements in the Western society. Now, here are the imam's words. Quote, I'm quoting the imam. We are the messengers of the messenger, representing of his this deen of Islam, and we must be the solution. The future is ours. Every ideal nightmare of a Muslim Europe will come true. You can be angry if you want. I don't care. The U.S. will be a Muslim country. Russia will be a Muslim country. And Islam will enter into every home around the globe. We must be part of that change. Be part of that call for to remain firm in our doctrine, in our practice, and in our faith. And never, ever, ever apologize. We do not apologize. We never yield, and we make no concessions, end quote. Now, Derby, I don't think that could be any more clear than what the imam said. Domiciled in America, an American person, I'm assuming, by immigration, but preaching that domination and control from his so-called pulpit in California for the globe to understand that the Muslims are going to take control of this world. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that concerning immigration, when you emigrate to a country, you're supposed to assimilate and accept the culture of that country. Like when I go to Europe or France, I don't want to see Muslims. I want to see French people. Mm-hmm. And when you become a citizen, you take an oath of allegiance, that is in the U.S., and you renounce any allegiance to any other state or kingdom. I don't think Muslims do that. So it's a very drastic measure, but for the sake of saving our Western European Christian English-speaking culture, we need to tell them to embrace our culture or get the heck out of my country.
Derby, you're
exactly
right.
Don't come here to change me. Come here to change me. If you like the Muslim culture, stay in a Muslim country. Choose Shiite or Sunni. I don't care what you choose, but you don't belong here. We need to follow the example of the Spanish king and queen in the 15th century and 16th century that simply threw them out. They were given a chance to embrace the Christian faith. They didn't, so they were thrown out back to North Africa.
We need to reverse back to that. We need to revert to that. But I would say without any equivocation, it is too late for Europe. It is too late for the UK. It is too late for many of the other nations around the world. It's not right now. It is not too late for America, but it's too late unless we have some legislators wake up, as Chip Roy, the Republican from Texas. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Derby, it deserves our attention, and it's my prayer today that the listeners will wake up and demand from our legislators that anybody that adheres to Sharia law, that is Islamic law, anybody that is bent on making America an Islamic nation, they ought not to have the privilege of running for office or being in office. In fact, one legislator says they ought not to be allowed to stay in America at all. That's where I think we need to go. And it'd be a very difficult nut to crack, but I believe we need to attempt to do so before it's too late. Derby, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe we have Brother Davis Harper on the line. Go ahead, your question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, you may or may not be aware of it, but they have already built a house on New Berlin Road. It was well concealed until it was completed, and now they've cleared all the property in front of it. You can see it very obviously on New Berlin Road.
Well, they've got the mosque all over the city, all of the Duval County. It's not just that one. They are very, very secretive in the approach they take. They might just buy a house, and that house becomes their, quote, place of worship. They might buy a piece of property. In fact, right now there's a fight, as you know, in the city council, and I don't know what the outcome was last evening, where there's a push to put a Islamic Halil meat processing plant. Name of it is, let's see, Establishing on Beach Boulevard has renewed its efforts to develop a meat processing facility after withdrawing its process back in 2024, and that's coming up again. I'm sure you're familiar with that. But a Halal meat processing plant, Halal simply in the talk of Islam means clean food. It will be a filthy stench in the nostrils of every human being within blocks and blocks and blocks of that. And it's my prayer that anybody that's listening now that's on city council has any impact on city council, we need to say no, no, no. We're not starting that in the city of Jacksonville. But it's my fear that the political pressure behind the scenes with a liberal mayor now in office, that will not be the case. So it demands our recognition. And in the state of Texas right now is being inundated. Texas is a good example. They got 350 mosques and 450,000 Muslims. In fact, Islam in Texas has already made the open declaration that Texas will be Islamic. We're witnessing that in the state of Florida, right here in our own state. I believe we've got something like let me look at my notes here, 181 mosques in 88 cities in the state of Florida. We're witnessing it come in, and the mindset is, well, you know, all religions are free to worship, et cetera, et cetera. Islam is so conflicted with everything that's in the realm of biblical theology, biblical Christianity, that it's an impossibility for there to be a coexistence in that realm. And we're allowing them to run for office, go into office. Davis, I'm listening, looking at one, says, this is big. Congressman proposes a plan to deport all of those who follow Islam Sharia law. The preservation of our constitutional republic and its people depend on it, calling the ideology of violence that permeates Islamic Sharia beliefs and law as incompatible with any of American society. U.S. Representative Chip Roy, Republican of Texas, has suggested a plan that would allow individuals who pursue the extremism of Islam to immediately be deported. And it would prevent foreign nationals who follow Sharia law from entering into the United States at all. A report of the Federalist explained the plan called, quote, Preserving a Sharia-Free America Act, end quote. Any alien in the United States found to be with an ardent belief in and following Sharia law by the Secretary of State, Secretary of Homeland Security, or Attorney General shall have an immigration benefit, shall have any immigration benefit, immigration relief, or visas revoked. In other words, whatever they have that allows them to be here will be revoked, but considered inadmissible or deportable, and shall be removed from the United States, according to Roy's plan. Under the proposal, immigration benefits could be revoked for those found who are supporting Islamic religious law, which includes various punishments for offenses, such as when women appear in public without their Islamic mandated head and face coverings. Notwithstanding any other provision of law, any determination made by and after the aforementioned department heads under this act shall be final and shall not be subject to any review of any court the law would require. Now here's the key. America, this is what Representative Roy, Chip Roy, says. America is facing an existential threat, the spread of Islamic Sharia law, from Texas to every state in the Union. Instances of Sharia law ardents have threatened the American way of life, seeking to replace our legal system, seeking to replace our Constitution with an incompatible ideology that diminishes the rights of women, children, and any individual of different faiths. He added, America's immigration system must be fortified to counter the importation of Sharia ardents. The preservation of our constitutional republic and its people depend on it. How do you respond to that?
Well, I tell you, he's got it, and I hope they'll do something about it and enforce that. But, you know, I'm just kind of wondering, has Duval County already gone to that 4 and 6% Muslims in our county now that's causing all this in our county now?
I believe that we have. It is not. I don't know of any survey that's been done that can validate that. In my personal opinion, with what I see taking place, it's by the empirical evidence I believe that we're seeing with the increased number of the mosque, with the increased number of the Islamics demanding what I call halal food. And you'll find in any city or state with that, too, your school boards, your public school system will start being pressured by the Islamic leadership to have what they call halal food in the schools, so that on certain days, certain foods that are acceptable by the Islamics will be provided at taxpayers' expenses. Now, that may be happening already. I don't know. But I believe we need to sit up and take notice and recognize that it's not just in Jacksonville, but it's across the globe. In fact, a good example of that, as you already know, is in Michigan. The state of Michigan is an Islamic state. Dearborn, amen, Michigan is an Islamic city. In Dearborn, Michigan, the citizens, conservatives, patriots, and Christians, have to listen to the call to prayer from the minarets, the prayer towers of the Islamics, five times a day. They have to listen to that garbage. It's a demonic call. It's a demonic call of the Islamic faith. It is a demonic call in Arabic that even the American citizens do not know what they're saying. As in one case, just a few years back, one of the city councils in one of the states, one of the cities in the state of Florida, had a imam that stood to lead in prayer, and he prayed in Arabic. And when it was interpreted, translated, and put to the press, it found out he was asking Allah to destroy those leaders that would not bend and bow to Islam. We are in desperate condition in America with the deception. It is a global deception that's taking place, and only demons could produce that. So it's a demonically controlled global deception that's going to swallow up, implode, and destroy the Western world, which includes the United States of America. So it deserves our prayer, recognition, number one. It deserves our prayer, secondly, asking God to intervene and deliver us before it's eternally too late.
But David, I'll amen that.
Brother, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. I believe Terry's on the line. Terry, go with your question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, I believe that the Quran is demonic, and I also believe, too, how can we have somebody take over our country who believe and don't think they're not going to try to kill us so that they can have 72 virgins? The lust of the flesh and the women. My question is, what do they get?
Nothing. Women in Islam simply becomes a sex toy, and that's it. That's it exactly. And with Muhammad, he had taken as wives. They were not wives. They simply became sex toys. I believe some 13 wives as it was allocated to him. One of them was as young as 9 years old. You'll find across the Islamic world, it is not something that is improbable or something that is improper for an Islamic man to marry a 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old girl. This is the reason we find that Islam declared just a few years back by a bragging imam out of New York City that said that they would take over America through production, through child producing. They, right now, Islamic world, the Islamic culture, the average couple will produce 8.9 children. In America, the American couple, the American man and his wife, will produce maybe 2.3. Any nation that produces less than 1.8, I think the number is statistically, of prodigy of offspring will destroy itself by implosion. You cannot build a nation, a culture, and replenish it if you're not producing children in the family. It's the reason God said that we're to marry and have children and to bring them to the faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor him and to serve him and to submit to him. Contrary-wise, we're finding Islam producing the numbers that will allow them to take over any culture. This is the reason we see at this very moment in the UK. You have street names that you can't even read because they're Arabic. And right now in the state of Texas, where they were putting in, the Muslims were putting in a major city, and the governor put a stop to it. The courts overruled that stop and overruled that stop. And as a result of it, a major city where there will be the mosque as the centerpiece, and only those that are Islamic can buy into that culture, into that community. And they will have street names after the Hamas warriors, those that are martyrs for their Muslim faith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's taking place right in America today, and we need to recognize the danger of it and continue to pray and demand, not just request, demand that anybody that runs for office, they take a stand publicly against Sharia law and the Islamic invasion into our nation. But Terry, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood, I would just like to add that I have been at city council speaking against this, and there are very few people in city council speaking against this. And as you said, we will become the next Dearborn, Michigan, or Austin, Texas. We had a woman that came in from Austria who was arrested in her home state for teaching a class on Islamic law. Somebody had infiltrated the class and reported it to her state. And because she said that the Islamic leader took on that six-year-old child as to wife and then consummated the marriage at nine, she was arrested. Her life was destroyed. And that was 10 years ago already. So she was here Monday night to sound the alarm that if we do not stand against this, it is inevitable for us. She said all of Europe right now is under Islamic law. Now, that's somebody that lives there. So if people just want to keep putting their head in the sand and believing it's not true, we need to stand up, show up, and speak up. And the next city council session is October 28th, and everybody gets 3 minutes during general comment to speak about whatever they want to speak about. You also can speak about it when it comes to public hearing. So we need everybody to come out. There's also been a protest on Saturdays against the slaughterhouse. But the numbers that are dismal to compared to what is at stake.
Lisa, you're exactly right. If I can jump in, one of the things is Christians are asleep. Pastors are afraid. They're frightened. They're afraid of numbers, nickels, and noses. I say to every pastor, preacher, everyone that's in the pulpit, this Sunday you need to stand up and speak about it. Grow a spine. Grow a backbone. Be the voice of the watchman on the wall, warning of the dangers ahead. Lisa, you're exactly
Amen.
Right. I'm looking at a headline, Lisa, that our listeners may not be familiar with. Virginia governor candidate worked at a Saudi extremist school. It's a large article, but the one that's running for governor in the state of Virginia, the female, is a beholder of, embracer of Islamic Sharia law. Worked in a school that teaches that, had her children to go there, praises it, and she did work there, summer school work there, several summers, and she's running for governor now. We need to recognize it and stand up. Lisa, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 6.